Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Excuse me. Veronica.
Yes, what is it, Brick?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Excuse me?
The party. The pants with the pants. Party with pants.
Hello and welcome to the Pants Party. As always, I'm Max, along with me, Ben and Harrison. Fellas, how are we doing?
Doing great. How about yourself, Max?
Well, I just cracked a beer. Iowa women's basketball won a conference tournament, and I'm watching MLS. Life can't be much better.
Is this not heaven? Because there's no beer in heaven, but you have.
I never said I was in heaven. I just said life couldn't be better.
I don't know. Go Hawks.
Come on, pal. Go Hawks. All right. So we'll start with the bad so we can get it out of the way as quickly as possible. The men's team.
The men's team.
Ugh. All right. Great. I'm glad we talked about that.
And that was our recap of the men's game.
Yeah, I mean, what is there to even say about the men at this point? They completely fallen apart this season. Today I wasn't able to watch today's game, so I can't speak much on today's game itself, but they showed some semblance of a basketball team for a good portion of the night, or afternoon, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was... When it was happening, it didn't feel like it was happening. I think that's maybe the weirdest part. Like, the weird stuff was happening, of course, but it's like, oh, it's fine. It's still a 12-point game. It's still a 8-point game. It's
right.
Still a blank, blank, blank. But yeah. Like, it didn't feel like it was real until, oh, crap. Somehow they have the lead under a minute.
Every time Nebraska, like, chiseled away at the lead, Iowa did something then that, like, kind of, that negated. And I feel like what Nebraska was doing, you're right, it felt very surreal, the whole game. I don't know. It sucked.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch it, but I was following along on Twitter for the most part. And so I'd be like, oh, cool, Iowa's up 7. And then I'd see, all right, Nebraska's cut the lead to 5. And I'd be like, okay, Iowa's up 9. Okay, Nebraska's trimmed the lead to 6. Okay, Iowa's up 8. And so I was like, oh, like, this is, you know, they're responding. Every single time, it seemed like Iowa always had a response when I was looking at Twitter. And then out of nowhere, it was like, oh, yeah, by the way, Iowa just barely got this into overtime.
The tough thing for me, and I mentioned this in the recap, like, everyone played well, like, for Iowa. I know we've been hearing about how Nebraska's, like, KenPom's favorite team or whatever, even though they've lost every single game ever. But, like, Isaiah Moss, he hasn't been anywhere for the past 5 games, and he was a contributor. Luka Garza had the quietest 20 points of all time.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he can hit 15-footers. Where's that been? honestly, Bohannon had a really solid game all around. Cook, at Wieskamp, he looked back to normal to me. At least his best game I can remember him having since the Indiana buzzer beater. And even Cook, 9 points, 9 rebounds, fouled out in overtime. The bench is sort of where I guess we're a little where we see the deficiencies. Only 13 bench points. Going off of 6 from Connor McCaffrey, who overall did not have a great game.
Yeah, I think the thing that was really frustrating is the free throw line. That's really the
look at it. And it's like, oof.
Like, they kind of got back to where they were before a little bit, going, getting 32 attempts. Granted, part of that was a function of the fouling there at the end. But throughout the game, like, Cook, he 5 of 11, 2 of 8, actually, from the field. But it felt like he was doing a little more, just a couple turnovers. And I guess that was the thing. In the first half, they were super clean, keeping hold of the ball. I think they had just 2 turnovers, finished with 13.
Which is still low for Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, in the first half, you know, they weren't necessarily hitting a ton of shots, but they come back and they end up shooting 46%, which is, like, a totally reasonable amount to shoot from the field. And it was just, you know, it felt like maybe last game they were done to be, they were ready to be just done with the regular season. That's kind of how it felt. But then you kind of see this and it's like, okay, all right, they look good. But then it just, I didn't really quite realize what I was watching when it was happening. It was something, that's for sure.
I had to totally rewrite my recap. I thought this was all said and done. And I think the most surprising thing to me, and I guess Harrison, we've talked about this, we've beaten this to death, but like, when Iowa shoots well, they win. And when Iowa was up, they were 9 of 20 at one point from 3. And then they eventually cooled down between, in the last 3 minutes of the game and including overtime, they only made 1 3 in the final 8 minutes of the game, ending the game 10 of 26. So they went from, you know, just about 50% to below 40% in 3-point shooting in a matter of minutes. That just totally sunk Iowa. It might be too easy to blame that, but if it's going along with the way we've been thinking all along, that this team is living and dying by the three, that's certainly what killed them today.
Yeah, and I guess I certainly won't miss Glenn Watson. That's the second game at
Man, Nebraska. God, they were, he was on fire. God.
He just absolutely killed Iowa. I remember, what was it, 2017, I'm looking at this right now. 7 of 8 from 3, and that was when he missed his very first 3, also an overtime game, 2 overtimes. He missed his first 3 and then made 7 straight. Isaiah Roby today was like 4 of 4, just killing Iowa, doing everything, offense, defense, just general hustle stuff. And, I mean, the 7 scholarship players was a note they liked to make throughout the game. But, you know, you can win games with 7 guys. Like, Bill Self, granted it was with Kansas's players, you know, yeah, he had a 6-man rotation 2 or 3 years ago. So, like, that never really got it to me. But they even had him in foul trouble. It's like, that's what you want to do when you're playing a team that lacks depth. And it just felt like they got to where they got. And they're like, okay. And then, worst case, we'll get a shot at the end with Jordan. And, you know, the first one, I thought maybe he got fouled a little bit. He took it a little nonchalantly.
Yeah, there was no urgency.
Something
at all. There is none whatsoever, I felt like.
And then that second one, I mean, that was just executed perfectly.
I want to talk about that play design. I'm glad you brought that up. We can put it on the map.
Player effort will
sorry.
Ooh.
Just throw away. Oh no. All right.
Player effort. Box out. Box out.
Box out. Box out.
Hands up. Oh.
Okay, well, it looks like we're waiting a second for Harrison to finish that thought.
I derailed what he is trying to thought anyway.
Yeah, so, I don't know where you guys were. I had to let her out quickly. But yeah, player effort's going to throw away a well-designed play almost every time, and that's what happened there. So credit to Nebraska. Maybe the thing that is always kind of Fran McCaffrey's saving grace is the long view of things, which is, hey, if you told Iowa fans they'd have 21 wins, 500 in conference at the beginning of the season, I think everyone takes that. But as was mentioned in our Slack a couple days ago, Not so fun to see the sausage get made, or the chicken nuggets.
There's a better analogy. It wasn't, I mean, it's the same analogy, but it was, a hot dog tastes a lot better than it looks, or...
Oh, that's what we're saying. A hot dog tastes good until you know how it's made.
Yeah, exactly. I've always heard sausage gets made, but I like the hot dog going better. Send us more euphemisms at Gospel of Max. I don't know. What else is there?
So, I mean, do we want to talk more about this game?
I think we've well covered off the game. I'm curious, like, where I stood maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago and where I stand now is Fran Island, of course, but also my point of view has always been that, like, people won't lose the bad taste in their mouth from the hot dog or the chicken nuggets, which are both delicious, by the way, unless Fran gets to the Sweet 16. Like, and that to me...
Even then.
No, Sweet 16, it'll cure everything. It'll make everything better.
Mm.
Absolutely.
So I guess that's my point, is like, is there anything that Fran can do that will... It just feels like there's maybe a film of toxicity that's not of any players making, but that just kind of exists around this program. Is there anything that could happen over the next month that changes that?
I firmly believe a Sweet 16 will cure all. It'll make everybody happy. It'll forgive all of Fran's mistakes, quote unquote. I think every all will be forgiven with a Sweet 16 run. A lot will be forgotten if he wins a game in the tournament, but I think getting to the second weekend is going to be a really big deal for him. I don't necessarily think that'll happen, but I just think if it does, people will be so bad. Fran Island will be a lot more crowded. I'd buy real estate there now if that happens.
Yeah, I'm more optimistic with Iowa making some noise in the NCAA tournament than I am the Big Ten tournament. And that's just because Iowa's not they don't play Big Ten basketball. Like, quite frankly, in the way that Big Ten basketball is really physical, you know, rough basketball, you know, like you watch like Michigan State, you watch Rutgers, you know, you see all these teams that Iowa plays against. And for the most part, they're all pretty physical and, you know, they're trying to punish Iowa, and Iowa does not respond well to that. I think that they probably have a better chance against non-Big Ten opponents, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, that's a fair take. I buy that. We should also mention that we have the Big Ten tournament bracket in front of us. Iowa, going 11 minutes into a basketball podcast, let's mention that Iowa is playing the winner of Illinois and Northwestern on Thursday night. Two teams Iowa beat this year. Thoroughly shellacked Illinois, right? And then Northwestern was the first of the buzzer beaters.
Yeah.
Well, and Illinois is a completely different team now than they were then. I mean,
they got smoked today by... who did they play today? I just saw a score.
Penn State. Yeah, 16. Yeah, they're on a similar trend as Iowa. Lost 5 of the last 6, only went against Northwestern. Or no.
So what we're saying is that for the second straight year, Iowa's probably going to play Illinois in the NCAA tournament.
And Northwestern's even worse at...
Northwestern's bad.
That's one win in 12 games. Oh, my God.
Who's that against? Who's that against?
Ohio State by 19 or 18 points on Wednesday.
That's right.
I mean, this is really kind of what it comes out. Just college basketball is so freaking weird, right? At the end of the day, that's what this is. And I think Ben's point's a good one. It's Iowa's not really a Big Ten team, so they don't play a Big Ten style.
Thanks for crediting my.
That was Max's point, but thank you.
Oh, it was Max's. I'm sorry.
Thanks for crediting my thoughts without Ben making him sound smarter.
Woo.
But, like, you get to this end of the season, and if there always seems to be a little bit of a malaise around the program. And I wanted to not by that, but just it's harder and harder to be like, no, this is fine. There's some things to say about overperforming early. Like, I think that is a real thing that Fran does. But, man, like, the good teams, and granted, this isn't necessarily one of the really good teams Fran's had. And I think that's something that people maybe, including myself, got a little excited with. Hey, they never went above 22nd in KenPom. Those 2014 and 2016 teams, they were second and third. According to the advanced stats. And, like, while it doesn't necessarily say all that much, this team was 34th coming in, 41st now, according to KenPom. And so they can get back up there. They were 32nd a week ago. So, I don't know. And I guess my larger KenPom point was the two teams that surround Iowa are Penn State and Indiana. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. And Nebraska's right there at 44. So,
just
weird
kind of,
season, I think. Weird yeah. season.
Just kind of a random thought, because I don't think Iowa's as bad as they played recently. I also don't think they're as good as they were when, you know, they were rattling off all these wins and looking really, really solid in conference play. But which do we think they're actually closer to? Because obviously they're somewhere in the middle, but
I still think this team can make hay with the right matchup. And I actually think getting to an 11 seed is better for them in that regard. Because, like, it would just be a death sentence to be, excuse me, it would just be, there's no way they're going to advance against any one seed. An eight, being on that 8-9 line, it'll be the Tom Davis special, the Fran McCaffrey special, one game and a loss, if we're lucky. But they can get to, you know, who knows? A lot of things can happen, but I think their ceiling is still the same as it's been. I guess that's not really the
Which
answer.
Which is what?
I still think Sweet 16 is the ceiling.
Is this a good team or is this a bad team?
It's more of a good team than a bad team.
Okay,
which I'll get probably lambasted for. But
the thing is, I think we've seen the team play. I don't know. You're right. It's dumb. I don't want to make the argument I was about to make.
No, go ahead and make a stupid argument.
We've seen the team play good basketball. Like, I think today it was good basketball for 35 minutes. I don't think there was any amount of good basketball in the Wisconsin game or in the Rutgers game. There was good basketball. They played 40 minutes of good basketball against Maryland earlier this month. So I don't think I'm just really sick of. I'm going to call this. Fran McCaffrey is the master of the reverse Izzo, and just going into March ass first. And I'm sick of it. I'm so mad.
Mad again.
Yeah. That's my point. I made it. Are you happy?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fair to say. You know, this seems to happen. It's not every year, as, you know, some people have pointed out. Some of the Fran apologists. I'm looking at you, Harrison.
Yeah, not every year.
It doesn't happen every year. It just feels like it does. But, you know, that sucks in and of itself.
I want to address the Fran apologist real quick.
All right, talk to Harrison. He's
right
here.
What's up?
No, I mean, I'm more on your team than I am not. I'm just like, I don't see the point in getting mad about Fran, I guess, because he's going to be here next year.
No, he's going to be here for a while still.
Okay. So then, what's the point of getting mad? Just because people like to get mad about things?
Okay, I don't want to get into this. I'm going to start naming names.
Well, no, I think the reason that it's really turned lately is the Dolphin thing created an opportunity for everyone who had kind of negative feelings about Fran to just let him out. And that's what it is, you know, and Fran had the suspension shortly thereafter, which justified how they felt in the Dolphin thing. They felt like Fran might have pulled the strings to get Dolphin canned, whatever. But I think that was kind of the opportunity that allowed, you know, it kind of created the TP for the logs, and, you know, you started the fire. But once that Fran suspension happened, there goes kind of the lighter fluid, and just everyone just let them know how they feel about Fran. But yeah, I mean, he needs to be the one who improves for Iowa to get better, I think.
Yeah. What?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So speaking of coaches who improve... Lisa Bluter.
What are you laughing at?
What Ben said.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think I heard you moving something.
Lisa Bluter is probably... okay. I think... I heard a... I don't know, it's not really a rumor, but I saw online that she's the highest paid woman in the state of Iowa. She earns... good. She finally... see somebody who's... she should probably get paid more. She should demand similar salary to Fran for what she's been doing for this program.
Yeah, in case you hadn't heard, and breaking news for you, Iowa won the women's Big Ten basketball tournament. Congratulations to them.
So it's in the last 5 years, it's just them and baseball who have won a Big Ten championship, right?
Yeah.
Correct. That sounds correct. But and they didn't even win the actual regular season. They just won the tournament. They just got hot.
Who did win the regular season?
Maryland.
Ah.
Who they beat tonight? Maryland was a game ahead of them.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it was a thoroughly impressive victory tonight. I don't know if I know that I've watched a couple of games from this tournament. I don't know how much of you guys have watched of it, if any. I know Harrison
all
watched
all three.
Did you?
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
Yeah, I watched parts of the first game. I didn't watch the entirety of the first game, but women's basketball is really, really entertaining to watch, actually. And I know that they don't dunk and whatever, but like, if you want to talk about players getting mugged, Megan Gustafson is getting mugged on the block every time she touches the ball. And it's absolutely amazing that she can do things.
She gets triple teamed.
Yeah, regularly.
Legitimate triple team.
Yeah, it didn't really happen so much tonight against Maryland. Maryland went pretty much single on her for most of the game. They occasionally doubled her up, but bold strategy is she scored 45 points.
Yeah, I think the thing that's most impressive about Gustafson, after watching her kind of the last 3 days and hopping on the bandwagon, like just how quick she is with her moves. Like,
yeah.
And this is a credit to the team around her, because they, for the most part, are able to get her the ball right in the spots that she can just catch it and go straight up. And it takes a total team effort. It takes roster construction that, you know, allows the proper spacing. It takes just really good passing. I was really impressed with Stewart. I can't remember her first name, but... like her in the high post, yeah, Hannah Stewart. Like, I thought those two have just a great chemistry with the high low action. Also with Stewart down low too, she was really good yesterday.
She had a fine game today too. I think she had 8 points, 9 boards.
Yeah,
nothing to scoff at.
Well, I mean, and that's, I think, maybe the point I want to get to is, yeah, they have this all time great player in Megan Gustafson, but they also have a really freaking good team.
Yeah.
Like, they're all good, and I think Tanaya Davis might be my favorite one. Like, she's
for sure.
A little Chris Paul out there, just, like, kind of scooting along, but all of a sudden she's, like, in the lane making layups and a little hook shot to end the first quarter today. Like, she's a lot of fun to watch. They're all fun to watch.
Yeah.
So hop on the bandwagon with us.
I used to, when I was working for the athletic department doing like Big Ten student youth stuff, I had to go work all of their games. There was a year where I went to every single home game that they had. And it was just so entertaining. Those crowds are fun. Like, they get into the game, they're loud. And that team just has so much swag. Like, and they have for, you know, a while. And I think a part of that is, like, you know, like, they've got Hannah Stewart, they've got Tenaya Davis, and who's the swaggiest of all of them. And she really is, though. She's so much fun. She seems like such a cool person. But, like, you know, they're just fun. They have fun playing basketball. You know, it's, you know, hard to believe. Like, they're sitting there, like, after every single, like, Gustafson and one, she gets up and she starts screaming.
Yeah, and that's part of just, like, how, and maybe it's just the players that they are. Like, I think the chemistry and their personalities is probably a little unique. But yeah. I think just that's part of what makes maybe women's basketball a little more enjoyable, or that's maybe a different lens to watch it through, is just the chemistry is there. It's super fundamental, which just the way, just the entry passes. Like, I mean, they're so good at that. They're all good shooters. I mean, Mackenzie Meyer, she was on fire to start early.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope they're able to get a 2 seed. It'd be really cool to see them in the Sweet 16 and maybe get a chance to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, so they're expected to get a 2 seed. I think, I don't know what the name of the dude who does women's bracketology is.
Charlie Krem.
Whatever his name is. But he had them going into tonight's game as a 2 seed, and he had said that even if I were to lose, Iowa were to lose to Maryland, he said that, I think he said that Iowa would still probably be the 2. He thought they were pretty firmly on that 2 line. So they're probably with this win tonight against the top 10 Maryland team, you know, number 1 seed Big Ten champion Maryland team, they should stay. Like, they're probably going to be, you know, maybe like the 8 overall seed, but they'll probably be, you know, 2 seed. 3 seed at the very lowest. And, you know, I don't know if they'll win, because shit, like, they're gonna have to be going up against like the UConns and the Notre Dames of the world, which is, women's basketball is also just, there's no parity.
Yeah, it's a total, like, hegemony.
Yeah.
It's 4 teams, right? Well, right, I guess Louisville's kind of cracked in there, but with Baylor, UConn, Notre Dame, Mississippi
Stanford's
State a little
always
bit.
Up there.
Yeah.
Oregon's got a pretty good team this year.
Why not Iowa?
I
want to
say something about that.
Iowa?
I said, why not Iowa?
Oh, there you go.
Why not? That's a fair question, but it was wild because they showed the Oregon player. I can't remember her last name. It was like something real unique, like Aya Gnosis or something. And it like showed her stats, and just next to Megan Gustafson, it makes these really good stats look not good at all. Because she has 27 points and is averaging 70% from the field. This girl getting 18.5 points and 46% from the field. It's like, these are two player of the year candidates. It's like, one of these right. is not like the other.
Well, the one thing that she does have is she has like she averages like nine assists a game.
Oh, okay.
Along with her 8 rebounds. So, like, I think it was like 8 rebounds, 9 assists, something like that. So she's, I don't think that she has a case. I'm not saying that by any means, but like, she is a worthy runner up. And in any other year where Megan Gustafson didn't put up 27 or didn't average a double double and shoot 70% from the field, you know, she's probably National Player of the Year. But she also went to Oregon, which is a name school, so she'll probably win it.
Will she actually win it?
No, I hope not.
I think it was just because they were cross promoting another game. It's probably going to be the girl from Notre Dame, would be my guess.
Oh, yeah. Okunwale.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ben, you have any thoughts? All right, sounds good. Good talk, Ben. You think he just got up and left?
Who knows? I guess that's... I don't know. It was just really fun to watch the women's team.
You
know, like, I can't get over just, like, how fun they have... How much fun they have playing basketball together. It's like, this is the reason you play, right? Like, to, you know, have friends for life, and you're doing the... playing the game you love, and you're pretty freaking good at it. So, it was... I don't know. I'm really happy for them. And Bluter, it's like... Oh, got this triangle and two defense. It's like, what? What? Like, I mean, it was just wild to hear about maybe a change in defensive philosophy. I don't know. It's just, I'm happy for them is really what it comes down to on the bandwagon.
Yeah, as somebody who's watched them play a lot more than... I didn't get to watch them as much this year just because I wasn't around Iowa City as much. But as somebody who's watched a lot of this group of players... play games, you know, that was really fun. Like, I was actually really, really excited to get to, you know, tweet about it and, you know, just enjoy a nice basketball game, enjoy a great run to the conference tournament, and, you know, hopefully there's a lot more of it since they're gonna be a high seed. I'm assuming there's gonna be a lot more of it on TV, but really hoping that we get to watch more in the near future.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ben, you back yet?
Go Hawks!
Oh, okay, cool. You hear us talking to you like a minute ago?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Full disclosure. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really watched much of this team, honestly. I covered the team for the newspaper back in 2012.
Exact same players.
Jamie Prinney. I mean, somebody's talking about swag. Nobody had more swag than her.
I don't know, man.
That's about all I can add. I'm really happy for this team. I didn't realize that this coaching staff has been together for, what, Jan Jensen and...
Bluter.
Bluter and... I'm blanking on the third assistant's name. They've been together since they were all at Drake for, like, 18 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that Jan Jensen played for Bluter, is my understanding.
Oh, I didn't even know that. God.
I actually didn't. I didn't know that one. That one's news to me.
Yeah, the other gal may have, but I'm fairly certain that Jensen did.
God, I can't imagine being with anybody that long.
What was that?
That's like the coaching, that cohesiveness is quite impressive.
Yeah. Alright, well, we've talked about those things. We have anything else? Ben, we didn't do a podcast this past because you went on a date. Talk about it.
The NFL Combine happened over the weekend. Iowa sent four players, Imani Hooker, Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson, and the fourth guy, Anthony Nelson. They all did great. Noah Fant, I think, he placed in the top three, I think, in every single event, except for one, in the tight ends. And
he's also not very big. He's apparently very bad on size.
I don't know what you're referring to.
That was, like, I don't, based off whatever metrics, like, that they were using, it was determined that he's, that he has, like, bad, like, arm size or whatever. Like,
oh, my God. Typical I saw something Iowa like stuff. This. It was.
I didn't. I haven't read any knocks on his draft profile.
No, that was... It wasn't even really much of a knock. It was just, like... Yeah, he didn't grade well for, like, arm size or, like, whatever it was.
Well, he's a little slight, but it's, like... He's still 6'4", 250. That's what all these Iowa tight ends are. But I remember seeing a graphic, and I'm not necessarily going to look it up, but it was, like... It had his draft profile, and it had, like, measurables, which were just his body composite, and it's, like, 76 is, like, his rating or whatever. And then it had, like, his combine metrics, his performance, and it was, like, 98, just something insane. And then it had production in the 70s. It's, like, can we grade his production on a curve? Like, he had another first-round tight end that he was competing for touches against, and you're going to give him a 76 on production? I thought that was wild. But it was crazy because I think it was the same thing, and it had him in the 90s, far and away the best tight end. And then it had T.J. Hockenson as the second guy.
Yeah, at like 71.
At 76, and it's like, oh, man. How did he go? How did he go so utilized the way he was? Like, it's wild. I'm curious to see how the narrative follows these two. That's really kind of what it boils down to for me, combine-wise.
Everything I've seen has sort of said that they've solidified themselves as first-round draft picks, more or less. And if not first-round draft picks, you know, first two or three picks in the second round. I think everybody, Hooker and Nelson, all got them. They all had great weekends. I think they all made themselves some money. I think they all moved up. I was really most surprised by Hooker, more than anything, probably. I think he closed in at a high 4.48 40, I believe.
Yep. I think it was 4.49 or whatever, but yeah.
And once you're in that 4.4 range, like, I mean, I think it's stupid, but for a defensive back, the money, you look at it between the difference between 4.4 and 4.5 is usually the biggest indicator of draft position for that position for defensive back.
For any position, really.
Yeah, really. I think,
like, what is his name? John Ross from Washington was a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick.
My cousin,
pick,
and yeah.
It was, yeah. And it was literally just because the dude ran, like, a 4.3 something in the combine. Like, he hasn't done damn thing since.
Just like DK Metcalf, who...
Yeah. Yo, you want to talk about physical freaks?
But he runs a slower shuttle than Tom Brady.
Don't, as someone, as a Vikings fan, don't draft Ole Miss wide receivers. Just don't do it. Like,
what's the story here?
Laquan Treadwell.
Oh,
he's so bad.
I don't follow bad football teams.
And he was great at Ole Miss. It's too bad. And then Anthony Nelson too. People were saying he could be he looked at as an interior defensive lineman, which I never really thought of. But his size and arm length made that. Made him in a project to some, I think. I saw the Dallas Cowboys apparently have shown some interest in him. I think that the Athletics said something about that. So that's all I know. I think they all did great, and I'm really... Who else on this team, I guess we should have researched this, could potentially, maybe not get drafted, but be looked at as free agent pickups, do we think?
There's a lineman somewhere.
Yeah, I don't even know which one's in.
Iowa lineman always
Render,
right?
Somewhere.
Yeah, it'd probably be Render.
But also Hesse. Like, Hesse's the guy that really... It kind of surprised me he wasn't invited to the combine.
He's so small.
But isn't he, like, almost ready-made to be still a rush end?
I think he's still too small. He's 6'2", right?
I don't know.
I just feel like he's going to be someone who ends up as like that tweener linebacker / defensive end. That
it says 6'3", so he's probably 6'2".
Probably 6 foot.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just. I think he's gonna have an NFL career. That's just maybe my.
Do you want to bet, dude? I love him. I just think he's really,
yeah.
You're.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think you realize quite how small he is.
I think I do, but I don't know. He started for 4 years as a defensive lineman in the Big Ten.
You're right.
Yeah, well.
There's like all the intangible stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just buying into...
No,
like,
that's. I guess that's fair. Josie Jewell's in the NFL playing.
I'm looking at a picture of Parker Hesse standing next to Anthony Nelson. And
that's not fair.
Nelson has a full head on him.
That's not fair at all. Anthony Nelson's like 15 feet tall.
That's true.
But, I mean, I guess, like, because Jewell is, you know, he's getting some significant run in Denver, and he's, you know, that was the big knock on him was his size. Although he was invited to the combine, if I remember
correctly.
Yeah, he was definitely invited.
Yeah.
Jewel didn't have a good speed combine, but it's like, just put on the tape. He was the only person that could stick with Barkley. Like, that was... I don't know. Sometimes
that's
it just
true.
Feels like these NFL guys just
game speed.
Spin themselves up.
He's fast in
exactly.
pads.
I mean, that's a good point, because, like, you look at the combine time, and I did this before, so I don't want to do it again on the fly, but, like, literally the difference between a 4.4 and a 4.5 is
a tenth
negligible.
Of a second.
It is negligible.
It's a tenth of a second.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. You're never running in that speed, and even if you're doing straight line stuff, there are so many different things that matter as, like, a defensive back or a wide receiver. Your positioning, your ability to catch the ball. Like, I mean, it's just... I never understand why the 40 is still used. I guess it's just because it's a TV property now, and that's why they do it. Like, I read that Wright Thompson piece where they're talking about moving it potentially to, like, prime time over a full week. Like, are we serious? Is this really going to happen?
What, the NFL Combine?
It's because it's the only thing anybody talks about from the Combine. Like, you know... you never hear anybody talk about shuttle times or bench press. Nobody cares about that shit. All anybody cares about is the 40.
Going back to my previous question where I asked who else we think might get looks, Matt Nelson's gotta get some looks based on his size alone.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's always the thing. Does he want to play football?
Oh, he has med school aspirations, right?
Yeah, and, like, in that Thompson piece, they also, like, I can't remember if it was... It
so
was
did
that,
Rudock.
It was that... Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that Rhodes Scholar or whatever, right? The guy from Florida State.
From
the
Florida
safety,
State, yeah.
Yeah, right, Thompson spoke out to him, and he said that was always the knock on him. NFL guys don't like players who have choices. You know.
What is this, a recent Wright Thompson piece? What is this?
This, you didn't see this, Ben?
No.
Yeah.
When was this?
Man. It was this past week.
I don't know.
All right, now we've lost Ben as he googles and goes to find the Wright Thompson combine. How'd you miss this?
I don't know.
Were you on a date? Like, have you just been going on dates? Before?
Yeah, are we gonna talk about that yet or what?
What's it called? Oh, he's got a paperback. Oh, do you guys know that? Wright Thompson wrote a book.
What?
Deflecting.
It's called The Cost of These Dreams. It just came out.
I won't read it. I don't know how.
Oh, it's coming out April 2nd. Ooh, the cover is good. I got a nice cover on that book. What else?
What's a book?
This is good radio.
Why am I on here again? Wright Thompson long form.
You're looking for that piece about the combine?
Yeah. Wright Thompson ESPN.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but somebody got asked, like, a really weird question at the combine this year, and somebody was like, why would you ask that? It's like, because they want you to make sure, they want to make sure you don't have other options.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was or why.
What's your 401k like, son? Well, the one guy was like, they turned down the cold on him, like had him sit in front of a fan.
The combine's weird, man.
A steak, booze, and a sense of dull dread. Here's what really happens at the NFL combine.
I do like steak.
I am full of dread and booze.
We know.
So it looks like I'm going to Indy. All right.
So, also, Alex Marinelli won a Big Ten title.
Mm, yes,
Alex Marinelli. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Spencer Lee didn't. He lost to Rivera. That was disappointing, but not completely unexpected, I'd say, based off of their previous bout earlier this season, where Marinelli whooped him. Not Marinelli, whoops, Rivera Rivera whooped Lee. That was, so this time it was closer, but and then otherwise, yeah, Iowa wrestling just kind of disappointed this weekend. I know that we don't really have a lot to talk about, just figured that I'd mention it. We sounds like we're about done here so that Ben can read.
I do have a take.
Ooh.
So there's this new flavored alcohol water. It's called Pura. It looks like Smirnoff Ice.
Okay.
Except it's not milky in color.
Mm-hmm. Which so it doesn't look like Smirnoff Ice at all. Well, it's like water. I got it.
Glass bottles. It's a still. Sorry, I'm playing with something. It's a still water that is alcoholic. We got the mango flavored one. It's
made by Genesee Brewing. Interesting.
Is and it good?
I kind of liked it, but here is my wife's opinion of it. Let me see if I can
I have a wife. Find
it.
She
it's actually
opinions.
A really good one. It's a you, it's a
you
really
just ask her to come in and recite it.
Yeah.
She's wrapped up in a TV show. If people may be or may not be able to hear. Oh, here it is. Tastes like the water you drink hungover as fuck when you want to throw up.
What?
That's a take.
It was a take.
I've never heard of this before.
Wait, my cousin it tastes like Propel.
It tastes okay. Like bad water.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. It was also the mango flavor.
I'm a huge Propel guy. If that means
I
anything.
Think you would like it. There was a blueberry flavor, maybe. I liked it.
Is like, this supposed to be like?
It was fine.
Good for you.
Nothing with alcohol is good for you.
You know what I mean.
We know this.
90 calories.
Yeah, so I guess they took out the bubbles and 9 calories from White Claw.
That sounds terrible.
I know, so...
That's the best part.
Pura, willing to amend my opinion.
If you sponsor the podcast.
Sponsor the podcast.
The Pants Party, sponsored by Pura.
Did your wife get to taste some of the...
I don't like where this is going.
The, what the fuck did... Malort.
Oh, no, she smelled it. She didn't say it was bad or good. I haven't had it since. So I'm curious. I did smell it like one random morning. I'm like, what does this smell like? Because I just really couldn't remember it. I'm like, oh, this smells worse than I remember. Well, so I might have a different take.
There was probably some nostalgia that, you know, you get from just receiving alcohol in the mail, I imagine. And
yeah.
Once you let that wear off, I think... Then your true palate will be unbiased.
Yeah, an unbiased palate. So,
so Christy, she did not try it though.
She did not try the Malort. I'm gonna have.
Has anybody? Have you had any guests? Has anyone tried it besides you in your house? Has your dog tasted it?
Dog could run away, man.
No, neither dog has tried Malort.
You have two? I don't know. Goddamn, Robinson Crusoe.
What?
Read a book. It's got animals.
I don't know how to read. We already established that.
My house, no, just two dogs. No, we'll see. There's nothing else really to talk about on my end in terms of alcoholic beverages.
I still like beer.
Yeah, I had quite a bit this weekend.
Same.
St. Patrick's Day is like a three weekend affair in Chicago.
I can't drink until actual St. Patrick's Day. So I gotta keep my slim figure for engagement pictures.
Ah, nice, Matt. Matt, oh my god.
Oh, so then you can pick up some of these whatever drinks Harris was just talking about. Only 90 calories.
There you go.
Yeah, that means that you can drink 11 instead of 10.
Ooh.
Hell yeah. That's what I like to hear. But yeah, so let's just end things here, yeah?
Goodbye.
Alright, for Harrison. For the other guy. Ben, that's your name, thanks. And I'm Max. RIP Damon Bullock. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
I let the computer close out, and I forgot to get ready to hit end the cord.